Welcome to OnkLive On Air. I'm your host today, Courtney Flaherty. OnkLive On Air is a podcast from OnkLive, which provides oncology professionals the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, OnkLive covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, sponsored by ESSA Pharmaceuticals, we had the pleasure of speaking with Christos Kyriakopoulos, MD, about initial results from an ongoing phase 1-2 trial of oral masofaniten in combination with enzalutamide in patients with metastatic castration-resistant prostate cancer. Dr. Kyriakopoulos is a medical oncologist and an associate professor in the Department of Medicine, Division of Hematology, Medical Oncology, and Palliative Care at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health in Madison. The open-label multicenter trial is investigating the safety, pharmacokinetics, and preliminary anti-tumor activity of the combination compared with enzalutamide monotherapy in patients receiving androgen deprivation therapy who are naive to second-generation anti-androgen agents. Masofaniten is being evaluated in a dose escalation portion of the trial, as well as in a phase 2 dose expansion cohort. Preliminary dose escalation data presented at the 2024 Genitourinary Cancer Symposium showed that masofaniten plus enzalutamide was well tolerated, with a favorable safety profile, and yielded rapid and lasting decreases in prostate-specific antigen levels. Notably, 81% of patients experienced a PSA level decrease of over 90%, with 63% of patients achieving this reduction within 90 days. PSA responses were observed across all starting PSA levels, and efficacy data on disease progression are still evolving. The recommended phase 2 dose of enzalutamide was established at the full approved dose of 160 mg daily plus 600 mg of masofaniten twice daily in order to offset masofaniten's impact on exposure caused by its interaction with enzalutamide. Based on these results, the two-arm dose expansion phase of the trial has commenced and is enrolling patients at multiple sites in the United States, Canada, and Australia. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Kyriakopoulos shed light on the potential synergy and pharmacokinetic interactions between masofaniten and enzalutamide when used in combination for patients with prostate cancer. He also contextualized safety and pharmacokinetic findings from the phase 1 portion of the study and outlined key objectives of the agent's ongoing evaluation in the phase 2 portion of the study. Could you explain the rationale for evaluating masofaniten in combination with enzalutamide in this patient population?
Masofaniten, or AP7386, is a novel drug. It binds to the androgen receptor, so it's a hormonal therapy, but actually binds to the N-terminal domain. So it doesn't bind like to the ligand-binding domain where testosterone binds, as well as like other drugs like enzalutamide, apalutamide, and darolutamide. So the idea is like to attack like the androgen receptor from two different directions. And actually, because of the location where masofaniten binds, its action does not depend on splice variants or other mutations that might be present at the ligand-binding domain. The idea is that like with deeper suppression of the androgen axis, we can actually have like better outcomes in patients with prostate cancer.
Could you provide a little bit more background on, you know, this phase 1 study itself and its inception? Is it new to the scene? Is it based on anything prior?
Again, the idea is like to try and target the androgen receptor and the androgen axis from different angles. This is the phase 1 results of an ongoing phase 1-2 study combining masofaniten plus enzalutamide. The first step was to do like the dose escalation. It's interesting because it appears that there is some drug-drug interaction between the two drugs, and enzalutamide seems to induce the enzyme that metabolizes masofaniten, whereas masofaniten blocks the enzyme that metabolizes enzalutamide. So the concern was that the concomitant use of the two drugs, on one hand, will decrease the plasma levels of masofaniten, and on the other hand, it will increase the plasma levels of enzalutamide. For that reason, the study was designed to include four cohorts. For the first three cohorts, the starting dose for enzalutamide was lower compared to what we use in clinic, it was like 120 milligrams a day instead of 160. And then we used escalating doses of masofaniten, starting at 600 and then going up to 800 milligrams daily, and finally 600 milligrams twice a day. For cohort 4, we also increased the dose of enzalutamide to 160 milligrams daily, which is the standard dose, plus the 600 milligram dose for masofaniten. It's interesting that for all those levels of masofaniten, it appears that concomitant use of the two drugs didn't really like affect the plasma levels of enzalutamide. Whereas it was shown that enzalutamide did decrease the levels of masofaniten. However, at the highest dose, at the 600 milligram dose twice a day, the plasma levels of masofaniten was clinically relevant and clinically active. So for that reason, the recommended phase 2 dose for the combination is the full dose of enzalutamide, 160 milligrams daily, as well as 600 milligrams twice a day for masofaniten. In terms of the safety, there was only one DLT that was noticed at dose level 4, and that was a grade 3 maculopapular rash, and eventually the patient came off study, even though that patient had a very good response. Otherwise, the rest of the side effects that we noticed are similar to what we expect from the use of enzalutamide. And also there were like some GI-related side effects, probably related to masofaniten. However, overall, the combination was well tolerated.
Was there anything else to note just about any patient baseline characteristics that are relevant to the evaluation?
Most of the patients were considered high risk based on the NZAP study presented at ESMO of 2023. And also, it's very interesting that 44% of the patients that participated in that study had previously received docetaxel for castration-sensitive disease. We are talking about high-risk patients, and still, the results that we found from the phase 1 portion of the study look very, very promising.
Is there anything to talk about in terms of efficacy data? I know some of those are still maturing.
Treatment of these patients is ongoing. However, we do have like some preliminary data of efficacy based on the PSA. So it appears that the PSA 50 was noted in 88% of patients, and then PSA 90 in 81% of patients, and PSA levels of less than 0.2 in 56% of patients. From the initial 18 patients who participated in the study, 13 are still on treatment. From the 5 patients who eventually came off study, 3 of them came off study because of disease progression, and they were primary refractory to hormonal therapy. And the other 2, 1 came off study because of a brain abscess. And the last patient had a non-treatment-related, not prostate cancer-related death. And actually, like, the patient was responding to the treatment.
Could you speak a little bit about the phase 2 initiation that's planned for this agent? You know, what's its design and objective?
At the GVASCO meeting, we presented the phase 1 portion of the study. The phase 2 portion of the study is ongoing. The study is open in about 25 sites in US, Australia, and Europe. That's a phase 2 study randomizing patients to masofaniten plus enzalutamide versus enzalutamide alone. The randomization is 2-to-1. To ELSA plus masofaniten versus enzalutamide alone. We're looking at some efficacy variables, such as the proportion of patients with PSA 50 at week 12, proportion of patients with PSA 90 at week 12 and week 24, as well as time to PSA progression per the prostate working group 3 criteria. Of course, we are looking at other variables, such as overall response rate, time to radiographic progression as well.
What would you really say is the significance or, you know, potential clinical implications of this research?
So putting things into context, of course, this is a small study. It's like the phase 1 portion of the ongoing study, and it only enrolled 18 patients. However, if we look at the PSA results and we compare them to the NZAP study, as well as like the older studies with enzalutamides, such as the AFFIRM that PREVAIL, what we have so far based on the PSA response looks very promising.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, sponsored by ESSA Pharmaceuticals. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit onclive.com and sign up for our EU newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.